south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, then. This is my first show back from my latest Expat Wisdom Seminar. Actually, this is being recorded more like 2 weeks later. Because right after the seminar, I was engaged in shuttling around a few expat wannabes to various secret and relatively unknown places that only us long-term expats know about. That said, being far out in the jungles and volcanoes and coffee fields, I really haven't checked my emails or phone messages for like 2 or even 3 weeks now. You ever try doing that? Well, try it sometime and see just what kind of hole you've dug yourself in. I'm trying to dig out of mine right now. So, I've been chugging away at my backlog of emails, and I've been doing so ever since early this morning. And I'm still a couple of hundred behind. But it's been worth it, because I've come up with a few emails I think you'd like to hear. This one comes from one of my past seminar attendees, Judy, and she's commenting on that recent show that I did when I was talking about people trying to learn or brush up on their Spanish by watching Spanish language TV. Which has now sort of invaded the U.S. media TV in the States in a very big way. Note that the lady who wrote this email, Judy, she knew a bit of her Spanish way back from her high school days. And amazingly enough, well, amazing to me anyway, she came down here to the seminar and actually connected right back in with her Spanish. Now, I have to admit, she is a special case because I just don't see it that often. Many people come down here with 2, 3, even 4 years of high school or college Spanish. They come down here oh so confident in their Spanish abilities, but soon find out that they can't even get it across to their restaurant waiter that a couple of cucarachas are making sloppy love in their soup. But Judy, our emailer, did not have that problem when she was down here. Amazingly enough, her high school Spanish kicked right in. Anyway, she writes, "Hi Johnny, enjoyed your January 4th show. I too often watch TV in Spanish to feed those old brain cells that otherwise get lazy, forgetful, and die. And on that Spanish language front, there is some good news in the States with the advent of Netflix, Roku, etc. Thankfully, they're taking the place of mundane cable with the ability to stream desirable content, vastly improving accessibility. In fact, recently I've enjoyed 2 highly rated TV series from Bamboo Productions out of Spain that are easily streamed on Netflix. The name of those shows are Galerías Velvet and Gran Hotel. And the cool thing about this is that Netflix offers English subtitles too. And current seasons are available on Atres Player with subtitles in Spanish only, which is also very good for practicing. Anyway, just wanted to share in case people who want to brush up on real conversational Spanish are interested. Oh, and another thing, I was wondering, what is the name of that cruise line out of Colón, Panama that you mentioned? And the next time I am in Latin America, I will remember not to kiss anyone on the lips, other than my husband, of course. Anyway, best wishes for a great 2015 winter seminar, thinking of you and all your crew with a hello to all. Judy." Well, Judy, thanks for that, because you know, all people who take Spanish lessons up in the first world can really use a bit of a refresher course via Spanish language TV, no matter how bad it is. As you probably know, almost all of the TV programs originating from the 20 Latin American countries really suck. And when I say they really suck, I'm being kind. In fact, Latin TV makes the Kardashians look like masterpiece theater. Now, as far as Spanish language TV that comes directly from Spain, as you mentioned, that's a completely different story. Spain is first world, so the production values and acting and directing, etc. are first world. Thus, not nearly as embarrassingly bad as something that comes from, let's say, Mexico or the Dominican Republic. Which I guess isn't saying much because first world TV sucks too, but saying that there is TV out there in Latin America that is infinitely crappier than first world TV, well, that's saying a lot, isn't it? That said, when a show comes from Spain, at least you know you're getting standard first world fare. To which a lot of first world gringos down here in Latin America would say, who cares? As long as you watch any Spanish language TV, you're going to learn how the locals speak. Though, as I have recently found out, some first world gringas that come down here to Latin America, after switching on local Spanish language TV, mostly soap operas, initially to better learn their Spanish, some of them actually become addicted to the soap operas. Okay, no surprise there, nothing wrong with that. I mean, look how many people up in the first world are hooked on TV soap operas. And it is a very good way to learn your conversational Spanish. I mean, hell, over the years I've watched a few soap operas myself. But in my case, it was just the opposite. I didn't get addicted, but what I wanted to do was every time I saw one of those male soap opera stars shedding crocodile tears after his wife caught him cheating with the cleaning lady, which happens about every other episode, I don't want to keep watching. I just want to punch the guy in the face. All right. So maybe I do need an anger management course, but they don't have those down here yet. Thankfully, there's a big lag time on that. So at least now, you folks up in the States who have a little high school or college Spanish under your belt, you can tune into Netflix, etc., like Judy mentioned, and brush up on how Latins really speak to each other conversationally. It's certainly not like learning Spanish from a book. Oh, and as to Judy's question about the name of that cruise line to South America, well, Judy, it departs not only from Cologne, Panama, but it departs from all its destinations. As you pull in, for example, to Caracas, Venezuela, Venezuelans will be checking in and checking out, too. Same thing in Cartagena, Colombia, etc. So where do gringos get on? Well, I guess Cologne's a good place to start. That's where I got on. But I only met two other gringos on the whole cruise tour, and I never did ask where they got on. So you could just about jump on anywhere. It's called, believe it or not, Pullman Tour Cruises. Just like Pullman cars on trains, it's called Pullman Tour. And yes, I've taken it. It's highly recommended. And by the way, another good thing about this cruise is that as you pull into each port of call and try to get off, there are no shakedowns, no shoes off, pat downs, or strip searches. You just walk through a metal detector and that's it, which I understand these days is unheard of with cruise lines that originate from the States. Oh, and by the way, try paying for a Royal Caribbean or Carnival cruise with cash. You can't, but you can with Pullman Tour. So, if you take Pullman Tour, you get the double satisfaction that no one's keeping tabs on you. You can spit in Big Brother's face if you want to. And I know some of you listeners out there just would love to do that. But I digress as usual. Oh, and by the way, for all you new and recent listeners out there, when Judy says that while she's in Latin America, she won't be kissing anyone but her husband on the lips, she's saying that because in Latin America, unlike in the States and many places in the first world, if when you greet someone and you kiss them on the lips, it better be just your husband, wife, girlfriend, or boyfriend. That's it. If you do that with anyone else, it'll be a scandal and everyone around you will start to talk. Which is sort of ironic because down here in Latin America, a greeting kiss is one of their national sports. You're freely allowed to peck a person of the other sex on the cheek. And you'll generally end up doing that every single time you run into them. But you must plant your kisser on the cheek, nowhere else. And since we're on the topic of improving your Spanish, here's a rather revolting story for you. I just recently ran into a gringa lady from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who happened to be a Spanish teacher up there in the Milwaukee public schools. Everyone's dream job, right? And she told me this rather enlightening story. She said, now, up in the States, to get a degree in Spanish, that is, to teach Spanish at a public school up there, part of the requirements for getting a Spanish teaching degree is that you go down to Latin America and spend some time with an immersion family, usually at least a month. Which means, of course, living with a Latin family that speaks no English, living and hanging with them and eating dinners with them, too. You've heard me talk about that before. Anyway, she told me that she signed up with her immersion family in Durango, Mexico. And she told me the usual stories about sharing a disgusting bathroom with five or six people and eating dinner and getting Montezuma's revenge, all the while complimenting Mama and Grandma on their marvelous, bacterially infested cuisine. All part of that learning experience, you know. But she also told me that the very first night they settled her into her little private bedroom, the married father of the house, the head of the household, and father to the kids, snuck into her bed at 1 in the morning and tried to screw her. Those were her words. And she said she had to scream and punch him in the face a few times before he finally got the hint to get out. And that's just not the oddball case either. She said when she reconnected with her friends, also future Spanish teachers, ladies that went to Latin America to do their immersion programs too, they also had midnight encounters with various male members of their immersion family. And she said it's a well-kept secret that people almost never talk about, but you just better get ready for that eventuality if you're female and that's your career path. So she said her advice is that if you're stuck in an immersion family as a single woman, for the first few nights, pack a heavy object under your pillow when you go to sleep. And if you have an encounter, just whack the guy around the head or the face and scream a bit and he'll get the idea. Or you do what I suggest for every traveler. You get this little device called Add a Lock. Just send me an email and I'll give you the complete details on that. It costs about $20 and no one will ever be able to get into your room. Because you see, if you're at an immersion family or an old hotel, oftentimes you won't have a lock on the door or the lock will be easily picked by the owner. Anyway, send me an email and I'll give you full details on that and you'll never have to worry. And nope, I don't make a dime off it. I just think it's a very good product and I use it myself. Oh, and speaking of Durango, Mexico, where she did her immersion program, not so long ago I talked to a medical intern that was working in an emergency room at a hospital in Durango, and he told me this. The emergencies most treated are gunshot wounds. Well, that won't surprise you, but guess what the number two cause of emergency room visits is? You're never going to get this one. I sure didn't, and I'm a pretty good guesser. Scorpion stings. Now, remember, scorpions don't bite. Americans always say scorpion bites, but they sting. And here's the stats on that. He said Durango has over 2,000 cases of scorpion stings a year. And until they instituted a scorpion eradication plan, over 100 people a year were dying from scorpion bite, mostly kids. Did I say bite? I meant sting. Well, I am a gringo, right? And now it's less than 50 people a year in all of Mexico that die from those stings. Now, you might remember in one of my past shows, I mentioned that I got stung by a scorpion some years back, but it was a small one, 3 or 4 inches long, not one of those big, black, ugly ones you see in Durango that show up in all those James Bond movies. Now, if you ever go to Durango, which I don't recommend, it's actually considered the scorpion capital of the world. Come on, did you even know there was such a thing? I bet it's in the Guinness Book. There are just so many scorpions that there are even schools, streets, and sports teams named after them. And, naturally, scorpion fights, mostly in low-end bars and cantinas. In fact, this guy said emergency room hospitals in Durango have a scorpion doctor on call 24 hours a day. A specialist in different scorpion venoms, believe it or not, because there are over 200 different types of scorpions in Durango. In fact, at one point in the past, the city paid a bounty for each scorpion killed. But after a while, they cut that out because they realized that kids were breeding scorpions in their homes just to kill them and get the bounty. And in the process, a lot of them got stung and died. Oh well, three cheers for Darwinism. So with so many scorpions popping up everywhere, it's created an actual industry. In fact, so-called scorpion hunters, they're called alacraneros because scorpions in Spanish are called alacrans. They catch and kill tens of thousands of them each year, then take the biggest, fattest, and ugliest ones and make souvenir key rings and wall clocks, etc., and sell them to tourists in the local markets. I'm telling you right now, a couple of matching scorpion ashtrays will look really good next to that stuffed armadillo in your double wide. Anyway, know this amazing fact. Over 250,000 people are stung by scorpions in Mexico every year. Which makes me, I guess, just a statistic. And it's not any more reassuring to know that out of the 200 different species of scorpions in Mexico, only 8 of them can actually send you to the hospital to kill you. So there you have it, folks. Reason 2,476, why you should never consider Mexico as a place to become a permanent expat. Though, like I always say, just like Costa Rica, if you can get a nice weekend or week-long package deal to a resort like Cancun or whatever, that's always a lot of fun, but I would never consider living there. Okay, that said, let's get back to a subject I spoke about on a previous show but never finished. I was talking about how gringos, when off the gringo tourist trail, often find ourselves sucked into high-end Latin American social circles. The Latin American hoi polloi, so to speak. It happened to me, all right, and a lot of my friends, and at first it seems like, well, an unforgettable experience, really. So don't be surprised if you get invited to shindigs down here in Latin America. That would seem like an out-of-this-world dream if you were sitting there on your sofa back in Cleveland. It happened to me and expat Eddie more times than we could ever count. Believe it or not, I'd get shuttled around to beach houses with yachts and helicopters, all that kind of decadent stuff that the Latin rich folks and corrupt politicians just live for. And, you know, it doesn't really mean anything to them unless they can show it off to their friends and the occasional gringo like me. Or you. In fact, for a while, a 4-star general of a small Latin country gave me a little card made out of cardboard, kind of a credit card. Actually, a petrol card that looked almost exactly like one of those cards you used to get at the video store where they'd punch out holes around the edge, where you'd get a free rental after so many punches. So anyway, the military of this country must have borrowed the idea from Blockbuster. But it wasn't for videos, it was for gasoline, which allowed me to fill up my gas tank every week at a military service station. You can imagine the looks I got when I pulled up to that place every week. But the general's name was on the card, and no corporal pumping gas was going to argue with that. Meanwhile, where it really counts, the cops are only rationed 2 gallons a day. But you knew that already, right? So such are the extreme inequalities in any Latin country, and such is the gringo advantage. But I can tell you this, that kind of advantage for you will never happen when you're on the gringo tourist trail, unless you're already some kind of first world celebrity. But you know that too, right? That's why I always recommend you settle off the gringo tourist trail. Or you'll just end up being an ugly American who's a mark for dollars. But back to that concept of us gringos being occasionally shot into the Latin American social stratosphere. At first, you know, it is amazing and fun, but some of us get burned out on it awful fast. I mean, rubbing elbows with pretentious rich jerks who don't even know they're pretentious and corrupt politicians is, well, fun until you see them for what they really are, and then you start being cynical and making jokes at their expense, and you don't want them to catch on to that, so that's when you should make your exit. At least that's when I did. Or you can do like some expat gringos do, and you could enjoy it so much that you end up sucking up to them, and in the process, kind of becoming a favorite gringo pet. Well, you know what they say, if you go for a swim in the outhouse, you're bound to get some crap on you. That's in the Bible, right? Well, if it ain't, it should be. Anyway, to each his own, you know? So, still more proof that the gringo advantage is alive and well, off the gringo tourist trail, that is. Now, if you remember, in a recent past show, I mentioned that down here, Che Guevara is no longer the big icon and hero that he once was. I remember saying that Che Guevara t-shirts have pretty much disappeared. And it used to be that every place that sold t-shirts or any kind of clothing at all had all kinds of Che wear, including that ubiquitous revolutionary Che Barrette. And now, funny enough, since a couple of generations have passed, everyone's kind of forgotten Che. And the ones that kind of remember have turned him into a sort of a marketing joke. In fact, lately I saw a t-shirt that said on the front, Viva la Revolution, with a picture of Che, in that ubiquitous beret with the red star. And on the back of the t-shirt, there was a monkey with that famous beret on, and a caption said, Viva la Evolucion, which means, of course, long live evolution. Now, though Che has pretty much been forgotten, and it's a good thing, too, since recent researchers and biographers have determined that Che was a true psychopath. Pretty much a heartless, murderous killing machine who would have ended up in Sing Sing had it been another time and another place. And, even stranger, new research shows that Castro set the guy up to get him the hell out of Cuba, where he was beginning to be more popular than Castro himself, and of course you can't have that. So then, what about Fidel? Well, down here in Latin America, many, many old-timers still have a soft spot in their heart for Fidel. Not for his politics or his economics, but just because he stood up to good old Uncle Sam and stuck the finger at him. So then you might ask, what do Latins know about North American politics anyway? Almost nothing. Except for, like I said, what they read on the front pages if they read at all, which they don't, like first-wheel people don't either. Now here's one thing I've noticed. Every Latin American knows at least 5 or 6 U.S. presidents by name. So then if they're so ignorant about first world politics and first world history, how could that be? You see, that's because there are things named after U.S. presidents throughout every small, medium, and large Latin American city. For example, you've got Wilson Avenue and Roosevelt Boulevard, Kennedy, Eisenhower, and Johnson Park. Turns out practically all the U.S. presidents in the last 100 years have things named after them down here in Latin America. And that's because these guys or their vice presidents or secretaries of state came down and did a goodwill trip and donated something, or modernized the local crap army, or gave free money to the local dictators, or whatever. And when that happens, you get the usual ribbon-cutting ceremonies, and they name things after you. That's typical with Latin America. That said, don't be freaked out if you're way off the gringo tourist trail and you run into a boulevard or a street or a park with a dead president's name plastered all over it. Or maybe even an oversized bronze statue or bust. Of a U.S. president, that is. So when you see such things, you might as well sit and have a nice look around because, hell, you paid for it. Enough said about that. Now, when I run into gringos and expats, they always tell me certain things they really like about Latin America. And, of course, a few things that drive them nuts. And for me, the number one thing that drives me nuts are the horrible drivers. Because, you know, down here, you don't have to take driver's ed to get a license, and you can just go up and buy one. Anyway, let's not get started on that. Let's just say, when driving down here, I don't recommend you pack heat. Too much temptation. Now, as for the good and great things that us long-term gringos always talk about, it's the climate and the people and the inexpensive nature of everything, specifically that amazingly low cost of living, especially off the gringo tourist trail. But I can tell you lately, just in the past 6 months, that people have been mentioning something completely different that they never did before. Lately, they've been talking about one extra very special thing they really like about Latin America, and that is that everyone, I mean everyone, gladly accepts cash with no strange looks, no questions, no ID, nothing. They just put on a big smile and are grateful to get it. Now, that's not to say they don't go over your bills with a fine-tooth comb. Can't have them bent, mutilated, or stapled because banks won't take them. Now, I mention this because lately I've been hearing it's becoming a real hassle if you try to buy things up in the States for cash. Now, that's not to say that down here you can carry around suitcases full of cash and buy houses and cars, etc., or make big deposits in banks. The long arm of the U.S. has made that kind of stuff somewhat difficult, too, these days, though I know some people do it still. It always depends who you know and how good your lawyer is. But let's not open that can of worms. Now, since all the banks down here have signed those FATCA and GATCA agreements, they have been forced into that know-your-customer law that you have up in the States. So when you're at the bank, if you deposit $3,000 to $5,000, they'll ask you where that money came from, just like they do up in the States. I think in the States now, if you deposit more than $3.46, you have to fill out 5 or 6 forms, right? Though I could be wrong about that, I'm sure it's coming. However, down here in Latin America, aside from banks, in the rest of Latin America, cash is definitely king. Cash is king. Now, note that down here in Latin America, there are a lot of travel agencies, and you can walk right in and pay for anything with cash money. They'll gladly accept it. Now, that won't work if you're using an American airline, but if you use any Latin American airline, and there's hundreds of them, good ones too. For example, Copa or TACA, which are two of the bigger ones. Aeromexico is another one. And down here, they're not going to give you the third degree at the ticket window either. Unlike the States, if you pull out cash at an airport, they won't treat you like a criminal or a narco. I know because I've heard some firsthand stories. So there you have it. Reason 4,267 why it's possible that when you live in Latin America, you could have so much more freedom and anonymity if you want it. And who doesn't, right? Oh, and by the way, on another subject, I promised myself I'd mention this to you. Remember last show, or was it the show before that, I mentioned that you could buy all kinds of pirated software down here too? Although it's a hot topic and politicians are quizzed about it in the news down here all the time, no one ever really does anything about it. How can I prove that? Just pick up any big Latin American newspaper and go into the yellow pages and look under the classified ads, called clasificados down here, and you'll see anywhere from a half dozen to a couple of dozen ads listing all kinds of software, but yet no business address, only an email, and they say they'll deliver right to your house, or business, or anywhere. Isn't that convenient, huh? Now, just to prove it, I've got just such a classified ad right in front of me now. And I'll translate this for you here. It says, computer programs for sale to control your entire business. We have accounts receivable programs, inventory, accounting, current accounts, payroll, etc. We also have Photoshop, CC7, Adobe Suite, AutoCAD, Designer Graphics, architectural programs, programs for Mac, Windows Office Suites, a full range of courses and programs in English and Spanish. Of course, there's no business address at all, only an email. And two cell phone numbers with no landline number. You can tell down here in Latin America if it's a landline or not by the first few digits. And you might ask, what does it cost when you buy one of these pirated programs that might normally cost $100 or so if you bought it with the original license? Well, usually about $5 to $20. And yes, once you order it by phone, within 2 or 3 hours, it'll get delivered right at your doorstep by a guy in a little motorcycle. And if you're wondering if there's any kind of guarantee, they say they'll give you a guarantee, and if you have trouble installing it, they'll help you over the phone. And by the way, all these little internet cafes in Latin America have a computer tech or two that usually run the place, and that's where most average Latin people get their pirated programs, direct from the local cafe internet guy. Because I'll tell you, for example, the Windows 8 operating system I think costs about $150 down here, which is about 2 weeks' salary, you know, for the average Latin, which, of course, really makes that pirated version look good at around, get this, $10. Now remember, if you buy a pirated version of most anything, you gotta click the button that says that you refuse updates, or when it says updates are available, don't click it. Because if you do, the home office will know and you'll get all kinds of nasty messages, etc. And they might even be able to disable it remotely. Oh, and by the way, if you buy a computer new down here, it usually will have Windows 8 installed, but not Windows Office. In that respect, I think it's just like up in the States. You get to use Windows Office for a month free, and then it expires, and you have to buy the full upgraded package for over $100. Note, 95% of Latins use Windows operating systems, and the rest, Apple and Linux. More on that next time.
South of the border, down Mexico.
You've been listening to the Expat Files. Living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture. He knows.